Jesus' name. Father, we thank you. We honor your name. We give you praise and honor. We are grateful that you are present in this place to speak to us what your purpose today. May your name be glorified. Holy Spirit, we invite you to speak to us in the manner that you have chosen today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Before we proceed, the core teams of both women and men, if you are present, please, can you just stand up, please? The core team, members of the team. Good. There are others who are not here with them, but I would like us just to say something to God concerning them. It's not easy running such programs, and God should reward them. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you for such a blessing to this church. We thank you that you have given us these brethren who have devoted themselves to ministering to our needs in our special groups. Father, we thank you for the core teams, both men and women, that are standing in the gap to see that the body of Christ is edified, that the body of Christ is built into a strong tower that will withstand the storms of life. We give you praise and honor, O God. Grant them wisdom as they continue to guide us, as they continue to organize us in this church. Father, you shall grant them the wisdom with which to run the affairs of those special teams, O God. May your name be glorified in their work, and may they be rewarded handsomely, O God. Even in the days to come, the hours they devote into this ministry, let the hand of God minister to them in a mighty way. We thank you and we bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you very much, brethren, for the work that you've done for the church. We appreciate. May God bless you so much. Amen. May you sit. Praise the Lord. I would like us to revisit something that we have been learning in the course of the months. Not that we have not had enough. The Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. The more you hear it, the more it takes root in your life, and so it builds you into somebody who is prepared for the times that are ahead. Today, I would like us to revisit the subject of the armor of God. Can you say the armor of God? Yes. When you see me dressing in my socks, in my boots, football boots, in my short, and my jersey, and you see me jogging around the field, what comes in your mind is that I'm readying myself for a match. Praise the Lord. And so when God tells you to put on the armor, it means there is something coming, and it must be associated to the armor. Praise the Lord. So, the armor of God. I don't know why the Bible had to specify. You can just say the armor, but I said the armor of God. So it means there are other armors that may not be appropriate for what is ahead. And so we need to be careful as we go through this. We shall turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 onwards. And it says, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Then verse 11 comes to say, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So God has told you that finally, because it means he has been telling you several things and is coming to a summary of what he has been telling you, and he says, to crown everything, you need to be strong and to in the Lord and in the power of his might. But being strong and having the power of his might is not adequate. He goes to verse 11 and says, after you've been strong, after you've had the power of his might, I'm instructing you, put on the whole armor of God. Not part armor, but the whole armor of God. It means it's also risky to put on partial armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Why is he telling you to put on the full armor? Because the armor is going to shield you from what is ahead. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So the armor has been designed for an activity which is not so pleasant. There is a warfare that is ahead of us, and as we engage in this warfare, we must be properly dressed. We must be properly dressed in readiness for it. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor, again in verse 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. There will be an evil day that will come. That evil day requires you to be well dressed for what is ahead. And having done all, to stand. 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with the truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Father, we thank you for your scripture. As we reflect over this scripture, Lord, this afternoon, I pray that you speak to each one of us as you have desired. Welcome in our midst today and speak to us, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Why is there a need for an armor? One, we are always engaged in a warfare. From the day you declare that you don't want to belong to the kingdom of darkness, it declares war against you. It declares war against you. Praise the Lord. You enter the kingdom of the light, and the kingdom of darkness will declare war against you. But again, as we wage this war, we need to be alive to some things that we'll be mentioning shortly. Verse 12 has told us, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, and neither do we wrestle against muscles. Praise the Lord. So we should be alive to that. 2 Corinthians 6, 7, weapons, maybe I'll not be reading the whole of the verses, the time being, I'll be quoting a few parts of it, but just understand, we are caught up in time. 2 Corinthians 6, 7, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the arm of righteousness, on the right hand and on the left hand. So there is an armor that we need to have. Some versions say weapons are used, in the right hand for offensive and in the left hand for defensive. They are all there for our use. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 to 5. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 to 5, it says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." So some of these weapons are fighting against the thoughts that linger in our minds. So we'll be looking at that. And what I want you to be aware of is that there is a warfare that we are engaged in. It may not be visible to our naked eyes, but it is there, raging in the spiritual realms. And secondly, is for protection. The armor is there, that it may protect us in the course of this warfare. I am reminded of 1 Samuel 17, verse 38 to 39. David has witnessed that there is somebody who's threatening the Israelites. And then he offers himself to fight. And he is called before the king. And now what happens is, because King Saul is used to a certain form of armor, that is what he knows that fights. But this armor has not enabled him to be courageous enough to face the enemy. And then he offers it to David. And David tries and walks a few steps, and he says, "No, this is not the kind of armor that I'm used to. Praise the Lord." That is why I said there is a deliberate purpose why the scripture said, "Put on the full armor of God." The armor of Saul will not work in the warfare that we are engaged in. The armor of our finances is not going to be helpful in the warfare that we are engaged in. The armor of our intelligence is not going to be helpful. There is a warfare that is raging in the spiritual realm that requires you and I to, first of all, put on the right armor, and that is the armor of God. We shall be visiting the various aspects of that armor in a short while. But it's important for us to realize that the Bible also repeats itself, the full armor, whole armor. The reason is you need to have a 360 protection around your life. Praise the Lord. If you have only 180 degree armor, then a half of you is exposed. That is why the Bible is talking of the full armor of God. And so you must be aware of the pieces that form this armor and appreciate them, take them up in your life, and put on carefully as prescribed by the Word of God. The central things that we gather from here, central issues that we gather from this are, one, you must know the identity of your enemy. Praise the Lord. You must know the identity of your enemy. Number two, you must familiarize yourself with the strategies of your enemy. You must familiarize yourself with the strategies of your enemy. Praise the Lord. Of late, we have heard of wars that are going on, and there are lessons for us to learn from these wars. If you listen carefully, some people are receiving an infliction of pain because of acting without knowledge, praise the Lord. And others are actually inflicting pain because they have studied their enemy carefully, they have understood the weakness of the enemy, so they are able to target the enemy in a very strategic manner, in a very deliberate and precise manner. And that is why it is important as a child of God to understand that the warfare we are in, we are not just throwing our punches into the air carelessly. We are not just throwing our ammunitions in the air carelessly. We must have a targeted proposition to our enemy so that by the time we hit him, he also understands there is a person somewhere, there is a vessel of God somewhere that I am waging war against. Number three, there's need for a complete armor that we have stated. There is need for you to put on a complete armor. And number four, you will have to remember this, that you must make a resolution as a child of God to stand in this war. Praise the Lord. I know as I listen to the war in Ukraine, I have heard of situations where some soldiers have gone, and instead of fighting the enemy, they have just decided to defect to the end, the other end of the enemy, because they did not make up their mind to fight. They decided, this war is not for us. Whoever started it, that's his business. And they have decided to go ahead. Now, why am I saying in the first thing that we must know who our enemy is? Because people engage in warfare as children of God, and sometimes we fight amiss. I have said, maybe we start from the point of who my enemy is not. Who my enemy is not. Because if I ask you, who is your enemy? You'll just say, the devil. But most of the wars that you fight are not against the devil. It's against your brother, against your wife, against your husband, against your children, against your parents, against your workmates, and against your neighbors. And all these people are just collateral damages. Praise the Lord. The accidents in the warfare is because somebody is ignorant of who the enemy is. I want to say that all these people we have named, they are all contracted agents. The devil has just contracted them to execute his purpose in your life. So if you're not very careful, you'll expend so much energy fighting an agent. In my place, we say, whoever the messenger is never beaten. You don't fight the messenger, however bad the message is, because he's just delivering what he was told to deliver. If the person for Talabat brought and the food is bad, you start fighting him. The man has just rode the piki-piki to your place and has given you the food, and you find it's not good. You call the office and tell them, I'm not ready to take this. Praise the Lord. You don't fight that man. He's just doing his job to deliver. He did not cook. He just delivered what he was given to deliver. Praise the Lord. So, I'm saying, most of the war that we engage in as children of God, sometimes we have expended so much energy, so much effort in fighting the wrong person. And by the time we are done, we realize that so much has been lost. You've created another enemy where you shouldn't have created. Praise the Lord. If we look at Ephesians 6:12, what it tells us, it says, we do not wrestle against flesh and... Is your child flesh and blood? What is the Bible telling you? Don't wrestle against him or her. Praise the Lord. Is your wife flesh and blood? He's saying don't wrestle her. Is your husband flesh and blood? The Bible says, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. So even if your wife came and told you something that you feel, this one is too much, look beyond that wife. Praise the Lord. Look beyond you. There is an enemy behind. She's just delivering what she was told to deliver. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Are you okay? If your boss came and shouted at you, let me accuse my African sisters. There is a rapping they call leso. If my African sister ties that around her waist and holds herself like this, you better take off. Take off immediately, because she's going to handle you in the proper way. Praise the Lord. So if your boss comes, don't behave like my sisters. Don't say, I'm going to tell you the peace of my mind today. He's just delivering what he was told to deliver. The person who sent him, he may not even know. Probably was just told, go and deliver this. He doesn't know the author of the message. Praise the Lord. Because it's flesh and blood. If the cat of your enemy, your neighbor, strayed into your house and messed your compound, don't stand on your stool and start shouting at the neighbor. That cat just delivered the message that it was sent to deliver. Praise the Lord. Verse 12 says, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Your enemy is not physical. He is in the heavenly realms, fighting viciously, and he wants to destroy you. If you waste your enemy, your energy on somebody you see, by the time you realize it, a lot of damage will have been done to you and to the other people who are innocent. Praise the Lord. So we ought to know that and carefully define our enemy before we start fighting. And before we engage in this war, the Bible has told us that this war is not that easy. Because after you've identified this right enemy in verse 13, the Bible says, Ephesians verse 13, the Bible says, therefore, because now you know your enemy, you know who you are fighting, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the attacks of this enemy. Praise the Lord. Whichever way they have been fashioned, whichever way they are presented to you, whichever way they manifest before you, you must first of all ask yourself, do I have the armor of God? Am I in the armor of God? And then now you can begin to engage the enemy. So, our Bible study has been dealing with the armor of God. And I'm going to start talking about a few of them, those parts. Let's see how we may make use of them. Ephesians 6:17 talks of take the helmet of salvation. Take the helmet of salvation. Of course, from the very first picture of the slide, you saw the full armor. But now we are taking piece by piece. The helmet. If you look at this helmet, if you put it on my head, you may only see the eyes and a very constricted part of my head. So it is protecting the head. And Brother Sashi, with his computer knowledge, tells me there is something they call CPU. Am I right? It controls everything. So your head becomes the CPU. And it has to be protected if it is going to be messed. Because all the decisions you're going to make must be processed in that head. You need protection. When somebody attacks you and insults you, you must hear. The ears only deliver the message to the brain. And then the brain begins to process.
It tells you this is very bad. You must act. This person has embarrassed you before people. And therefore, the old man says, the only template you have in your head is of that old man who says, who is it that can stand before Kenneth and insult this son of the soil? So Kenneth folds his hands and says, I am going to teach you a lesson that you will learn how to deal with people like me. That's why you find people doing exchange program of their hands. Praise the Lord. And soon you find somebody suffering. It may be even you yourself. Praise the Lord. It is important for us to guard our mind. The Bible says in Romans 12, 2, that we must read. Romans 12, 2, it says, let's start from verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The mind must be guarded with the word of God. It must have a protection. You must load your mind with the word of God. Because then there is a template against which you can measure. How do I react to this situation? The old man must be. That's why John said, I must decrease as he increases. You must also pray, my God, you must increase in me as I decrease. The old man must be suppressed. And that is why when somebody steps on you, you say, brother, I placed my foot in the wrong place, sorry. Praise the Lord. Somebody punches you and you say, oh, sorry, my brother, my face moved in the wrong direction. You are taking the blame instead of blaming the other person. Praise the Lord. That's why Jesus said, if somebody slaps you on the right cheek, sorry. If somebody slaps you on the right cheek, turn the left. Praise the Lord. Because the template that has been protected in the CPU tells you something different. The world tells you something different, but the template inside tells you something different. Proverbs 23:7 says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Does that tell you the reason why you behave the way you behave? Don't look down, look at me. Does this verse tell you the way you have been reacting to things? Because this is the way you think. When you shout at your boss, it's because that's the way you think. That's the template in you. It must be changed. Praise the Lord. We'll move fast. So the template is there to make sure that what goes on in our mind is processed against the word of God. It is looking at the template that the word of God has put in us, and that will inform the decisions that we are going to make. Praise the Lord. Our mind is part of the many portals that the devil wants to get into. When the devil came in the Garden of Eden, he just spoke the word. And Eve listened to the word, and she took it into the mind. And she allowed the process to kind of override the template that God had put in her. And the mess was caused. Today, many of you continue blaming Adam. Because Adam also listened. And the mind processed. And he said, my sweetie, sweetie will run away if I don't do what she's telling me to do. Eh? And he said, I love this lady. Let me do as she has asked, lest she may run away from this farm. There were only two. Even if she runs away, she will come back. I don't know why Adam was worried. Praise the Lord. And he allowed the processing in the mind to internalize that. It corrupted the whole system. The armor had been pierced. The armor, the helmet, had been pierced. Praise the Lord. Philippians 4:8 says, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate, think on these things. Praise the Lord. What do you think about? My brother, what do you think about? Let your mind be renewed, transformed. The breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness. This part covers essential parts. If you hear the heart of somebody has stopped, oh, maybe they're interacting with the angel Gabriel somewhere. It's gone. If something affects your liver, your lungs, those are critical parts of your life, of your body. Now the Bible says there are some critical things in your spiritual man that must be protected by this breastplate of righteousness. Praise the Lord. How does righteousness protect us? Numbers 25. We're not going to read the whole chapter. It starts from 24. Balaam is called to curse the children of Israel. It proves to be impossible. Every time he goes, whatever he says becomes a blessing. Why? At that moment of time, the children of Israel were living right with God. But in chapter 25, something terrible happens. In chapter 25, something terrible happens. Let's look at that verse, just the first few. Let's start from verse 2. And they called the people unto sacrifices of their gods. And the people did eat and bowed down to their gods. And Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. When the children of Israel compromised their righteousness, the armor had been pierced. Now the devil had a chance to attack them. Make sure in your life, my brother, what God has imparted upon your life, let it be guarded with all due diligence. You will read these things at your own time if you want to meditate over this. In Joshua chapter 7, Joshua has just overcome the city of Jericho. It was a big city. He didn't have to fight. He depended on God because they were still walking right with God. And then now comes a small city by the name Ai, artificial intelligence. Praise the Lord. There was a small city by the name Ai, a small population. But one of the children of Israel had decided to keep the accursed thing. It had defiled their righteousness. It pierced the armor of God. Exposed the children of Israel. They had to fight to lose to a very weak group of people. That is what happens to us. Praise the Lord. We expose ourselves, and even the smallest demon in hell has a field day in our lives. Because he has legal ground in my life. Once I've compromised my righteousness, he has legal ground to accuse me before my Father. And so he can penetrate my life and cause me a lot of pain. Do not compromise your righteousness. Praise the Lord. Be holy, for he that has called you is holy. God cannot call you to be holy if he knows it is impossible. He assigns you a duty he knows is possible for you to execute. The problem is when he tells you, be holy, Kenneth, you think it is you to make yourself holy. That is where the battle begins. We fail in that area. When he calls you, he knows he's going to make it work for you. Number three, the belt of truth. The belt of truth. Ephesians 6, 14. Stand therefore, having guarded your waist with truth. It is important as a child of God to anchor yourself with the truth. Why? Number one, John 14 says, I am the way, the truth, and life. You anchor yourself with the truth, you anchor yourself with Jesus Christ. He has already overcome, so you will overcome. Praise the Lord. John 17, 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So the word of God again comes. It must be there to sanctify us, to protect us in the form of the belt of truth. Now the belt fastens, holds things together. You never see soldiers walking with their shirts hanging loosely. They will always button them, fasten them with a belt to hold them together. Everything, the truth of God, the truth of the word of God will hold us together. Praise the Lord. Why is it important to have this truth? Somebody said here before the service, and I laughed because that's one thing that I was meditating upon. When Jesus, the truth, walks into Lazarus' funeral, the sister is saying, if you had been here, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died. And Jesus says, what is this person talking about? Doesn't she know the truth? At that time, the truth was, Jesus was the resurrection. Praise the Lord. So he told them, no, Lazarus is going to rise. Because I am the resurrection. If you know this truth, that I am the resurrection, that which is fading in your life will arise. Praise the Lord. Many of us are in that situation where the truth of God, the devil is hiding it from us. We are seeing the problem that we are going through. We are seeing the challenge that we are encountering and forgetting the truth is where we are. Jesus Christ is there. He wants to turn things around. Everything is turning around in my favor. Praise the Lord. Why? Because Jesus is there. A man for 38 years who slept there waiting for somebody else to come and heal him at the pool. 38 years. And when Jesus walked by, he said, all this time, I've waited for a man to save me from this pain. I've never had one. Just said, I am here. I'm going to heal you. The truth had arrived. The healing of that person had come. Praise the Lord. We need the truth, Jesus Christ, in our lives. And we shall be more than conquerors. Praise the Lord. Allow the truth to hold everything loose. Every loose item in your life together. Your righteousness must remain firm. Praise the Lord. In the boat, the men were talking of the boat. Jesus, the truth, is resting, calm, peaceful. And the men are struggling with the storm. They are fighting. Then one of them remembers, why should we fight alone and this man is sleeping? Here he comes. Don't you care that we perish? You say, why should I care? Because I'm here to save you. There's nothing to worry me. And he stands up. He speaks to the storm. He says, calm down. And immediately it came. They said, what manner of man is this? What storm are you going through? allow the truth of God, Jesus Christ, who is able to calm you down, to come into your life. Praise the Lord. The shield of faith. The shield of faith. Ephesians 6:16. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all fiery darts and wicked one of the wicked one. I love the illustration that was given in our Bible study. Praise the Lord. So, Pastor, allow me. Don't accuse me for taking. I am going to read some of these darts. Praise the Lord. If some of them have been hitting you, there's good news. There's the shield of faith present here. Praise the Lord. Discouragement, disappointment, doubt, anger, fear, lust, pride, greed, selfishness, covetousness, sexual impurity. Praise the Lord. There are many other darts. A dart is a small thing like this. I just want to share with you some story. We have got wild game in Kenya. We have got the big five. You are all welcome to our great country of Kenya. Praise the Lord. You will see the elephant. You will see the lion. You will see the rhino. Eh? You will see the buffalo. All of them there. Very strong animals. Sometimes, because of being in danger, the wildlife services, they decide to relocate these animals to a safer sanctuary. So they come with a helicopter, with a special gun. It doesn't have bullets. The bullet is a dart. Those of you who have played dart, that game of gauging whether it's still steady or not. They shoot this animal. I don't know the right term. They use that medicine. Tranquilizer. Once it is hit, the big buffalo starts staggering around, and soon, pop, it falls down. However big it is, the dart is something like my finger here. Praise the Lord. That is why the Bible is saying, take the shield of faith. Those darts that we have been listing here and many others, they are small. They are very tiny. But as they are targeting you every other time, they will make you fall. Praise the Lord. However big you are in your faith, you will come down. And you may be relocated to not a sanctuary. Be careful. The enemy may not relocate you to a good place. So it is important for you to walk with this shield of faith and allow it to be in your possession every time. Praise the Lord. 2 Timothy 4:7, the man of God who had been in this battle had these final words to share. He said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I've kept faith. Praise the Lord. Hebrews talks of, we are surrounded with a huge cloud of witnesses. And Paul was one of these witnesses. He's telling you, Kenneth, he's telling you, Eva, he's telling you, Vivian. Praise the Lord. And all of you, he's telling you one thing. I, Paul, I have been in this battle. I have fought this battle. And I have now finished the course. All those darts came. All those pains came. But the shield of faith that I had in my hand kept me safe. I kept the faith. And in verse 8, he says, there is a crown of righteousness that is awaiting for him. A crown of righteousness awaits for you. Praise the Lord. Pastor, give me 3 minutes. Praise the Lord. You know, Jesus can come back soon and I may not have time to talk about these things again. Praise the Lord. So just allow me to. The shoes of peace. Ephesians 6:15. And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Why did the Roman soldier have to have this? You know, men usually have this challenge. As they go to look for something out there for the family, and they remember that maybe there is this pressure at home, maybe, I don't know what to say, a child is sick, something like that. There is this thing nagging in their mind. Should I go or should I go and attend to the family? There is lack of peace. In most cases, they don't achieve their full potential because there is something pulling them back. Praise the Lord. So, if you go without shoes and you start walking in a foreign land, you don't know which thorns are going to pierce your foot. And a small thorn piercing you may cause you a lot of discomfort. You may not concentrate on the task ahead. So you need peace. That is why the Bible is talking of the shoes of peace. Why do you need this shoe, the shoes of peace? Because you need to be mobile. You need to go out there and preach the gospel of peace to the world. Because that is what we have been called to do. Why is it part of the armor? Because the best way, somebody said, the best way of defense is offense, attacking. Praise the Lord. You keep your enemy busy in his background. Those who have had the privilege of sitting many hours behind the screen watching the football, you know that. A team that keeps another one very busy in their own backyard is likely to emerge winners unless the others do something unique. But psychologically, you are under pressure for 45 minutes. You are wondering whether it is wise to come back for the next 45 minutes. So, the Bible is urging us to go out in Matthew 28:19. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations. Once you go in the work ministering out there, you have gone in the territory of the enemy. So you need to cover space. You need to keep him busy. Because now he's worried of how many he's losing, not how many he needs to gain. You know, that's the difference. If you are worried about how many you are losing, you are on the defense. But if you are worried of how many you are going to gain, then you are on the attack. So the feet and peace of God that comes in allows us now to focus on the genuine mandate that you have been given, that of reaching out for the world. Praise the Lord. Quickly, the sword, Ephesians 6:17, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Armed with the word of God, we advance into the enemy territory. Colossians 3:16. Why? The word of God. Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. The word of God, as I said, forms the template against which we make decisions. If it's full in you, your decisions will be informed by the word of God. If it is 50%, 50% of your decisions will be made based on the word of God, and 50% on your own experience. The experience is always very bad. It will always fail us. Praise the Lord. Matthew 4, chapter 4, verse 4, 7, and 10. Jesus said, it is written. It is written. The Son of God, the Son of God, told the enemy when under attack, it is written. And the enemy departed from him. It means the word has got the power to set us free from those imminent defeats that we are facing. Praise the Lord. Quickly, our conclusion. You have been called to a life of spiritual warfare. The enemy is unrelenting. You must take note of that. The enemy is unrelenting in this fight. The enemy is unseen operates in the spiritual realm. So you must also engage in the spiritual realm in order to address him properly. Prepare for the war every day. Every morning, set off with having prepared yourself thoroughly in the house. Don't just walk out anyhowly. Take time to prepare yourself for the warfare. You know not where it will come from, in which direction. Your weapons are superior. Know that. Your weapons are superior to the pulling down of strongholds. That's what the Bible says. Finally, you are adequately protected by your Father through the blood of the Son and the Holy Spirit. May God bless you so much.
Church, the armor of God. Are you ready to take the helmet of salvation? Are you prepared to take the breastplate of righteousness? Are you ready to take the belt of the truth? Are you ready to take the shield of faith? Brothers and sisters, be prepared to take the shoe of peace. Don't allow your armor to be pierced by Satan. Don't allow your armor to be pierced by the enemy. Pastor spoke at the beginning of the service about enemy. The flesh is part of the enemy. Don't allow your armor to be pierced by your flesh. And that is why Romans 13 verse 14 say, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. May God continue to protect us in Jesus' name. Let us be on our feet. You know the area that you need to protect yourself. You know the area that you are not fully covered. Begin to talk to God right now. Lord, the helmet is not strong enough. Grant me your own helmet. And how do you get this helmet? The Spirit of God must live in you. You must surrender your life to Jesus Christ. You must put on the Lord Jesus Christ. You must accept him as your Lord and Savior. That is when you are fully covered. If you have not done that, begin to submit yourself right now. That, Lord, these are the area of I need touch. The area of my life that I need touch. Touch me to have the full armor of God in my life. Talk to God. He is listening. He's a merciful God. He's ready for us. He's ready to shield us. He's ready to protect us from that flesh that can pierce through the armor that we are putting on. Talk to God. Pray for your spouse. Pray for your children. Pray for your family. Pray for your friends and all the unsaved ones around you, that the Spirit of God will dwell in their life. And I pray, so shall it be. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Father, we want to thank you and appreciate you for your message that we have heard today. Thank you, everlasting Father, that you reminded us that we have to come into you. We have to present ourselves before you so that you can occupy our life, so that you can take control and take over our life. And the moment you take over our life, we are putting on the full armor of God. Father, we appreciate you for your message. We have called upon you all those areas of our life that devil is using to pierce through the armor in our life. Father, bring them to an end in the mighty name of Jesus. We pray, Almighty God, that your Spirit will dwell in us. Whatever enemy have been accusing us of, that have not allowed us to take the full armor of God. Father, we pray that your Spirit will dwell in us and take us to the level that we have the full armor of God in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we want to thank you for your servant that you have used for us this day. More anointing in the mighty name of Jesus. Bless him. Bless the work of his hand. Bless his children. Bless sister. Bless everything that connected to him, so that we'll be able to hear more from him in the mighty name of Jesus. And as the year is going to an end, Lord, Father, we pray that you will shield us with the full armor of God, with full armor of protective from the enemies, which is Satan. You protect us in the mighty name of Jesus. All your plans for us this year shall be fulfilled in Jesus' name. And the rest of our program for this year in this church, as we have glorified you, for the rest of the program, we shall glorify your holy name in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, everlasting Father. We commit the outreach that are coming on the way. Father, bring the lost soul into our midst in the mighty name of Jesus. Cover us and shield us with the precious blood of Jesus in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, everlasting Father. As we depart to our various homes, let your presence go with us in Jesus' name. And when we meet online tomorrow, let our testimony be more in the mighty name of Jesus. When we meet on Monday for Victory Night, we shall testify to the glory of God in Jesus' name. Thank you, Almighty God. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Shall we joyfully share the grace together in fellowship, and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. Surely, God's goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. God bless you. Do have a wonderful week ahead.